What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Let's talk about good sex. You know, that kind of sex where you and your partner come at the same time. Unfortunately, that rarely happens, and that's because there's an orgasm gap, and women take a little bit longer to come than guys. But that is okay, because Promescent has the solution. It is their delay spray, okay? Their delay spray is not just for guys with PE. It is for any guy who wants to last longer in bed without having to worry about it. It's not going to totally numb you out, and it's not going to transfer to your girl. And Promescent has a whole line of products for your girl. I use their warming gel. I love it. Your girl will love it. And they also sell lube. They sell condoms. They have supplements that will make you and your partner hornier. They are a one-stop shop for everything you need for a really hot night of sex. I love Promescent products, and so will you. So go get yourself some. Go to promescent.com/strictlyanon. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon to get all your Promescent products. They have free shipping, they have a 60-day money-back guarantee, and your package is going to arrive discreetly, so no one's going to know what the F you bought. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon, or just go to the description and click on the link.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the Strictly Anonymous Podcast on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. I'm also at Strict Anonymous, I think, on YouTube. Same handle across the board, at Strict Anonymous. If you are listening on a podcast app, make sure to follow my show there. If you love my show, hit 5 stars, write a review if you actually feel like doing that too, a good review. If you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because everybody remains anonymous, even to me. I don't care if you want to call me from a block number. I would hope you make up a phony email account to send me an email. It's fine. I'm going to change your voice on the call. We're going to change your name. You're just going to tell me your true story. So if you have a true, interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous, you could be on the show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. Or what else? Or go to Instagram or Twitter. Follow me at Strict Anonymous, and you could DM me over there. You need to give me some information about what you want to talk about. The best way, I actually prefer if people just email me. It's easier for me to get all my requests just in my email inbox. So email me, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Today is all about cuckolding. Now listen, Raymond Fletcher, okay, he just wrote a book actually that's coming out, or that is out already, I'm sorry, on Amazon. It's called The Cuckold Bible: How to Improve Your Marriage by Involving Other Men in Your Sex Life. Now listen, Raymond, it doesn't just write about cuckolding. He has lived it. He has a really interesting, colorful life from the get-go. Okay. He grew up like in an area where there were strip clubs and massage parlors, or maybe not massage parlor. I mean, maybe not strip clubs, but like massage parlors and adult arcades right in his area. So as a little kid, he was out and about and he was seeing all this kind of stuff right in his face. So he was open to it, not because his family was open. His family wasn't. They were actually very strict, and that's why he turned out to be the exact opposite. He's very open, no rules, no regulations. I mean, you should hear the two relationships he's had with his wives. They have always been open. There have never been any kinds of real boundaries put in place. But he has lived his relationships very specifically with both of his wives, and we get into all of that. His story about his first wife and how they wound up, like, I think on their first date at a swingers club, and she fucked 20 guys, okay? And that's when he realized, ah, this is kind of hot. So he started from the get-go really understanding that he liked to see his girl with somebody else. He likes for his partners to do it in front of him. He likes to watch. He loves seeing his partner pleasured. It's not about him being denied or anything like that. There's no humiliation in his cuckolding. It's more so about watching his partner get pleasured, the turn on, seeing like live porn with the porn actress being his partner right in front of him. He's also bisexual. We wind up finding out that later on. And he has been bi since the get-go too. And he talks about that. He also lives at a nudist colony, in a nudist resort. I forgot about that. We talk about that right at the top of the call because he was telling me that before we spoke. So we talk about, you know, how he lives in this nudist resort, what goes down there. Like I said, how he met that first wife and all the guys that she fucked that one night. All both of his girls, both of his wives are very into like gangbangs, but he has another word for it. I mean, they're always doing a lot of guys at once and he loves that, but he also loves guys. He loves the gift that they leave behind, which is that cream pie scenario. He loves that. And what was interesting that he talked about, and I feel like maybe he talks about this a lot more in his book, is how cuckolding makes him feel loved by his girl. He's also poly, okay, and he's done poly very successfully in both of his relationships. He's, like I said on this episode with him, I'm like, I don't think you got like the jealousy gene because he doesn't really seem to have that at all. He talks about, like I said, this journey of meeting other guys, you know, hooking up with guys and what he enjoys about that. And then he talks a little bit about his book, The Cuckold Bible, what's in there. I want to have him back on, and I talk about this at the end, where he could do like a Q&A. I want all my listeners that are listening to this, if you are involved or interested or thinking about cuckolding and you want more information and you want to ask a guy who, like I said, didn't just write the book on it, has lived it. He's a professional and he's very open to coming back out and answering questions. If you had a question for him, what would that be? Send it to me because we're going to do a part two with Raymond and it will be a big Q&A with him all about cuckolding because I think it's a hot topic. And I think a lot of times I get emails from people ask me questions and I'm like, I don't know. I don't do any of these things my callers do. I just like talk to people about it. I don't have those answers, but he does. Raymond Fletcher is unique because of how open he's lived his life. And I think he's the perfect person to answer your questions. So send them in to me, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. But what you're going to get on this episode is his whole story, as well as some information about his book. A link to his book will be in the description. So I am going to be right back on with Raymond Fletcher.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Okay, hi, Raymond Fletcher. I'm saying your whole name because you are you, okay? You are Raymond Fletcher. That's your name. That's also your pen name because you're a writer of erotica, but you also live erotica. It's like you have a very interesting lifestyle. You lead a very interesting lifestyle, and you write about it in all this erotica that you have on Amazon. You have a new book that just came out that I was interested in because it's such a hot topic on my podcast, which is cuckolding. Okay, we're going to get your whole life story, but just throw out there real quick, like that new book that you have out now, and then we'll talk about it also at the end after we get your, you know, all the information about your life, because it's super interesting. But what's the name of your new book? The Cuckold Bible?
Yes, The Cuckold Bible, How to Improve Your Marriage by Involving Other Men in Your Sex Life.
There you go. I've had many people come on and talk about that. And then many people come on and talk about the opposite of that. But more people, I have more of the successful people on my show than the unsuccessful. But let's talk about you, Raymond, because I have to just say a little thing that we just talked about on the phone before. Like yesterday, you couldn't get in touch with me because like you're in the middle of nowhere and you're like, oh, yeah, it's because I live on a nudist colony and I'm like, you know, on a mountain. So, I mean, do you want to start there? Like, how did you and your wife wind up in a nudist colony? And where is that nudist colony around? I mean, maybe you don't want to give it up. I don't know.
Well, it's not a nudist colony. It's actually a resort.
Oh, okay.
And it's in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
It's called Mountain Air Ranch. Uh-huh. And we chose to live up here because we love the mountains. We enjoy the people that were around. In the wintertime, there's very few of us that actually live up here.
Mm-hmm.
But in the summertime, you've got everyone of every type, every size, every type of lifestyle. And the thing about being in a nudist environment, no matter where you go, is it's very family friendly. It's more of a body positivity. No one really cares who you are, how old you are, how thin or how big you are. Everyone accepts you for who you are. And that's what we were looking for. And I've always been a nudist. And I brought my wife up here one time just to, out of the blue. And she fell in love with the place. And it was something that she's like going, yeah, I think I've found my happy place. And right. So when we were able to, we moved up here.
You know, you're a cuckold, you're open marriage, you know, like, why don't we start at the beginning? Because you said you've always been a nudist, but how did you become mm-hmm. a cuckold and all that other kind of stuff?
Well, my first actual time, I actually, what got me into this is when my first wife and I went to a swingers club, and we're talking in the early 80s. We went and they were a bit different than they are now. As opposed to back then, anyone could show up, and now it's mostly couples, and they don't let single guys in, and when they do, it's limited amounts. Back then, it didn't matter, and we had gone, and at that time, I was 19, and she was 18.
Oh, you guys, and that was pretty ballsy back then.
Well,
I mean, I think at 19 in the 80s to go, I mean, I was around that age around then, or maybe I was younger, but like, you know, that's pretty ballsy back then, I feel like, to get into it that young, right?
Well, you got to think of where I grew up, though. Where I grew up was right behind a topless bar, a nude wrestling club, a massage parlor, a adult arcade and theater, and a free clinic.
Well, see, I knew that, but I didn't even say that so to lead into this, but I'm glad that it did because I would have forgot about that. Oh, yeah, that was your upbringing. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, from pretty much kindergarten till junior high, that's pretty much what I saw. And the church that we attended was on the other side of the street. So I always told people I didn't grow up on the good or bad side of the tracks. So I grew up in the middle.
Right. You had both of it on both sides.
Correct. And so when we went to the swing club, to me, it was no big deal. My wife at the time, I was her first. And so this is a whole new thing to her. And she grew up in the valley. She was pretty much as vanilla as you could be. When we went in there, there was two women and one guy, and they were kind of like in a stage room. And the two women were doing their thing, and the guy was watching. And so we watched that for a little bit, and then we wandered around, and no one else came about. And it was a good 30-40 minutes. And finally, I said, you know, I'm going to go walk around and see if anyone's around. She goes, okay, I'll hang out. When I came back, she was with this guy, and they were already at it. And it's like, okay, this is cool.
Okay.
And so I sat and watched. And when they were done, they kind of noticed that I was there, and she introduced me. And I'm like going, hey, how you doing? And it just felt natural because a lot of the people that I grew up around were also flower children.
Yeah.
And so wife sharing was no big deal. I mean, it's just that's what you did with friends. And so that night, she was with about 20 different guys. And when we left,
whoa, in one night?
Oh, yeah.
Hardcore.
Because it was just, there was two women and that one guy. And then it was us and all these guys. And,
wow.
And they just went after another. And I just, it wasn't that I didn't have any control. It's just that we were both going, wow, okay. let's let it happen. And afterwards, when we were getting ready to leave, I said, so do you think you'll ever want to come back? And she goes, yeah, I found my happy place.
Yeah, she was vanilla no more.
Big time.
Yeah.
It definitely changed her and me. It felt really natural. And it's like, okay, cool. Because then I was not only part of the swinger situation, but I was also more a part of the flower child type people that I'd grown up around.
Right. Were your parents flower? Is that who you're talking about, or your friends? Like, that was the movement that was going on when you were in your teenage years?
Well, no, actually, when I was growing up through grade school, our neighbors were all hippies and flower children.
Right. The older people, yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents, no, my mom was one of those people that she didn't like sex in any way, shape, or form. And my dad was one of those people that pretty much lived frustrated.
Right. Okay. So now you start. But you picked up on everything that you saw around you. I mean, even though your parents were that way, you had a lot of influences around you. And when you saw those flower people, the hippies, you were like, those are my people. That's who I want to be like, as opposed to like your parents or the church people. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Big time. Because when we went to their house, no one wore clothes. It was, you know, no one cared. And you'd see someone's wife with someone else and they're kissing or holding hands or just, you know, hanging out. And so to me, it's like, you know, I like that because these people are real.
Yeah.
You know, and they're real all the time, not just on, you know, Sunday or whatever. And so these people were real people. And when I would hang out behind the massage parlor, the girls, when they'd come out for a smoke or take their breaks or whatever, they would talk to me. And so essentially, by the time I was like in, fifth grade, I probably knew more about sex and relationships than most men do their entire lives.
Good news. Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. There aren't many decisions bigger than having a kid. But for many women, their fertility is a big question mark. I know it was for me, and it wound up taking me years to have my baby because I was clueless about my fertility status. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in and you get your personalized results in just 6 business days. You get all the insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, and other important factors that can impact your fertility. And you could download all your results to review them with your doctor. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests are only $179. And if you go to modernfertility.com/strictanon, you can get 20% off your test. That's right. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering my listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/strictanon. That means your test will cost $159, which is a fraction of what it would cost at a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com ModernFertility.com/strictanon. ModernFertility.com/strictanon. Or just go to the description, click on the link to get your $20 off. Right. So now you're with that girl and she like fucks like 20 guys. You guys become full-fledged swingers. Do you date for a long time, that woman?
Actually, we were married for 28 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so did you remain swingers that whole time?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Let me backtrack on that.
Yeah, please.
We weren't really swingers because that was the only time we went swinging. She was involved, but because the sad part is most of her involvement in playing happened when I wasn't home. I knew about it, but I wasn't home when it happened.
Is that because you guys wanted it that way or because she was just, you know, wanting to fuck guys without you and she was just doing it?
I wanted to watch, but there were times when she was uncomfortable with it. Other times we had guys living with us. And so because I either worked opposite shifts or I worked graveyard shifts, they had more opportunities. And even though we were married, sexually, we weren't as compatible as I would have liked.
Interesting.
We met on a Monday, got married on a Friday. So we married as strangers. And so the big part was I was trying so hard to get to know her throughout the years, hoping that things would go the way that I wanted them to. But sadly enough, the longer we were together, the less we talked to each other. But we did go out to things here and there together. But more often than not, she was with people when I wasn't home. And with my current wife, that's never been the case.
Yeah, there's a big difference there. But let me ask you this, because this is like you're the first half of your life. When you were with that first wife, were you allowed to see women too? Because if you're not really doing that much with her and you guys are growing apart slowly, like what's going on with you?
Well, we were part of a poly group here. And back then, the poly group here was pretty big. And so I was with several different people. We were also part of a Wiccan community. So throughout our marriage, there were several different times that I was able to be with other women. So I've been on the bull side and I've been on the cuckold side. And what really got me on the cuckold side, to where that just was my preferred place, was that I had to deal with all the jealousy of all the husbands of the wives that I was hooking up with.
Right. And it wasn't good jealousy. It wasn't like they were into it. So why were they doing it?
Well, I guess the best way of putting it is a lot of people wanted to be part of a scene.
Yeah.
But not be in the scene, if you know what I mean.
Well, they thought they could handle it and they wanted to be that person because they thought it was cool or it was a thing, whatever. But when it came down to it, they just couldn't do the hang. I mean, it wasn't for them.
Well, one particular situation, there was a guy that everyone called Mother. Uh-huh. And as they put it, you know, he could be a real mother sometimes. Mm-hmm. And his wife and I dated for, about 6-7 months. And we had a great time. And there was never any issue because he had 2 or 3 girlfriends as well. And they were into the BDSM scene heavily at night play and all that. And one night I went ahead and stayed the night at her place. And we were going on for quite some time. And she was not one of these quiet people. And when we got together for breakfast, he's like going, yeah, this isn't going to happen anymore. It's like, what are you talking about? He goes, we had to listen to you for a couple of hours. And he goes, no, I don't need that in my home.
Right. But the true cuckold would love it. I mean, right. I mean, would be a part of the enjoyment. He obviously wasn't into being a cuckold.
Well, he considered it being poly. And so, in essence, he was cuckolded by me.
Yeah.
But he was seeing it as a polyamorous situation. But when he found out that I was able to outdo him, then he all of a sudden is like, yeah, this isn't good.
Yeah, that I just feel like it's kind of confusing to wrap your head around it, right? Because somebody who's you would like if there was like a Venn diagram and you'd have poly on one side and cuckold on the other side, wouldn't you say that most people, if they're going to sign up to be poly, it would be beneficial if they were a little cuck too? Because like this is the kind of shit that goes wrong, you know, because it's a flip of a coin whether that a new person's going to come in and have better sex with your partner. And if you're poly, right, isn't that should be fucking fine. I don't know. The poly thing is so confusing to me. I don't know. You know, are you poly now?
Oh, always have been.
Really? I don't know. I don't know how. And it's worked for you?
Oh, in a huge way.
Really?
Especially with my current marriage.
Yeah, I think, you're lucky you found somebody. But so with your wife, let's just get back to the other stuff because there's so many more things that, you know, I don't want to take you off track with the poly thing. We'll get to it because you've done it successfully with this wife. You're with that wife 28 years. What other kinds of crazy things did you guys get involved in?
I'll try. What might be crazy to some people would not be to me.
Exactly. What's some of the regular things? I mean, you must know. You're a writer. Come on, you know, tell me the stories that you know that people like to hear.
Well, our fun more often than not was going to the adult arcade, because where we lived at the time, there was a black guy that ran the place, and he really liked my wife, and he would let us go in there, and you're supposed to do the tokens and all that, or at least back then. And he's like going, well, if you show me your tits, we're good. And so she's like going, okay. And we'd go back to the arcade, to the bigger booths. And that's where we had the most fun, because that's where I got to watch the most as we went there. And I think that with her was the wildest we ever did.
And what do you mean watch? Watch people in the adult arcade, you mean?
Oh, no. We'd go into the large booths and we'd leave the door open. And guys would walk by a couple times before they'd join us. And when they'd join us, I would tell them, it's like, I'm just here to watch. And the majority of the guys never had a problem with it.
Oh, so all the it's when you say watching, you mean watching your girl with other guys, because that became your thing.
Yeah, because when I was with her and we were younger, I tried to be with other women and it didn't feel right. Me hooking up with other women didn't happen until after we'd been married for maybe 10 years.
Oh, wow. Now, let me ask you, because so many people go crazy on YouTube when they hear these couples that I talk to. And a lot of times it's set up just like that, where the woman is getting her fill of tons of guys, whatever she wants, all the variety she could ask for. And the guy has nothing, you know, and I'm always what I always and they're fine with it. That's everyone's happy in their relationship.
Right.
And all my YouTube comments, the comments I get from the regular audience is like, how is that fair? How come she gets to have everything? And I'm always like, well, you know, the guy obviously is happy, and I feel like because you're getting so much of your variety from like watching her with all the other guys, like that's making up for it, right? I mean, it's not just like you're not getting variety. I mean, that is the variety, correct?
Well, yeah, in a sense, yes. And what I explain this to in my books and face to face to people is that for the majority of people, and me especially, when my wife is with other men, I feel loved by her. Because
interesting.
A lot of people think this is a kink. To me, I believe that men who are into cuckolding, it's more of an inner need.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that really, if it's not happening, you go through bouts of depression, you feel alone, you feel unloved. But when your wife, when you can actually see her with another man, she is loving you because she is fulfilling your fantasy and your need. And so where guys say, you know, it's not fair, it's like, yeah, it is, because she might be getting the physical pleasure, but I'm getting a much deeper satisfaction because it's not just physical, it's intellectual, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And so when she's just having sex with someone else, I am feeling so loved by her because she puts me as a priority, meaning that she's willing to set aside the social mores, the religious mores, all of that to satisfy my needs, my desires, by having sex with other men.
Right. And you could get past, because I think some people can't get past the fact, like that guy when you were fucking his wife and she was screaming, like they can't get past the part of her pleasure, because I mean, she's getting pleasure out of it too. Correct. I mean, with that guy.
Right.
But that's fine with you. You could pass that and get to the place where now you are just, you know, paying attention to your own needs. And so many of them are getting fulfilled by this situation, which is interesting. I've never heard it put that way. I guess that's why you wrote the book, the cuckold book, the cuckold Bible.
Right. And well, see, and another thing is that what people outside of the lifestyle don't realize is that with us, especially, I like it to be when she has sex with someone else, for it to be done to completion, to where the lover leaves a gift that she's able to give to me. And after they've gotten off a couple of times inside of her, that to me is a gift that she's able to give to me afterwards. It's so, something that I can play in either orally or any other way. So to me, that's a gift that can only be given to me by having sex with other men.
The gift of cum, the jizz, the leftover stuff, the cream pie.
Right.
That's your present.
That and being able to see, you know, for lack of better words, live porn.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the biggest difference is when you watch porn, you normally don't know the people, nor do you love them.
Right. Here you are watching live porn and that's your girl. Like you get to go home with that girl, you know, that the key player, the porn star.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but like I said, the fact that she, what people don't realize that for the majority of women to get to the point where they can actually have sex with another guy in front of their husband or boyfriend, that's a huge issue, because there's the whole thing of the slut shaming and the religious upbringing. Even if you didn't grow up religious, you still got these undertones that are there that make it hard for a woman really to open up and to be able to be, for lack of better words, again, slutty.
Yeah.
And that's something that people don't realize, is that from point A of, hey, I want you to sleep with other guys, to it actually happening, is a huge journey. And so she has done so much. And so when she does, let's say the first time a woman has sex with another man, she has gone through so much, and she did it for her man and herself and for the two of them together. And that's one of the things that I tell people, the most important thing is that cuckolding is something a couple does as a couple. That's something they do together.
Right. Not separate. Because this is what happened in your first marriage. Do you feel like that's why you guys eventually parted ways? Because there was a lot more of it happening separately than together?
Well, what was weird is it wasn't really that. She was with guys throughout our entire marriage, and then it came to a point where she all of a sudden says, I think I like girls.
Oh, went, oh my God. I can understand that. She's had so many fucking guys. She's like, okay, like, I'm bored. What else is there on the menu?
Well, what was weird is that her thing was, she goes, the reason why I had sex with so many guys is I was trying to convince myself that that's what I wanted.
Isn't it funny how people like, you know, I mean, that's interesting that's her, that was her truth was.
Right. So my claim to fame for years was, yep, I'm good enough. I can turn women lesbians.
Wait, is she full-fledged lesbian now?
She, as my daughter put it, she's pretty much asexual now. But yeah, she's definitely, if she were to find the right woman, it would definitely be her thing.
So was she with women when she was with you, or she was completely avoiding that and just with like all these guys?
And I guess it was about the 23rd, 24th year. She met up with a couple of women that she really clicked with as friends. And as time went on, it became more than just friends. And she realized, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for, you know? And she said she had always had those feelings, even when she was younger, but she, having grown up in Cowtown pretty much, you know, guys are with girls and girls are with guys. Mm-hmm. And so she was trying to convince herself. And because the sex was so good, she's like going, yeah, I, you know, until I find the right person, I'll keep doing this. And it came to a point later on that she's like going, yeah, I think I've had enough. And it's like, okay, I'm cool, because I never pushed her to it. I just let her know that I was more than okay with it.
With her being with women, you mean?
With women, with men.
With anything, right. Anything goes. Her, I mean, you were pretty, very open.
Yes. Her biggest complaint after we pretty much ended things was, you know, I needed some rules. I needed some boundaries. And you gave me total freedom. I was able to do anything I wanted anytime with anyone. And she goes, and I needed more than that.
Yeah.
And at the time, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but that's like a dog. If a dog could talk, they'd say the same thing. And same with children. I mean, you know, it's kind of like something that some people don't understand, but it is true, right? That most people like boundaries and rules. They just want to know where it is. It's much easier to navigate that than to navigate nothing.
Well, because my parents were so strict mm-hmm. in my upbringing with who I could see, when I could be out. I mean, they were really, really strict. And so my thing was that didn't work for me. So I'm going to go the opposite direction. And so to me, I thought giving her total freedom was the greatest gift I could give her. Come find out, it was the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can't help but just project all the time what we want onto everybody else, right? We do that.
Right.
Everybody does it. How could you know anything other than that, or do anything other than that? So
right.
It makes sense that you would go the opposite way because of all the restrictions put on you. But it also sounds like, and you tell me, because you did write the book on being a cuckold, you also sound like maybe you just didn't have that jealousy gene in you ever to begin with. Because I mean, I think the average person, you know, it would be hard to see, they believe it would be hard to see their partner with somebody else because they were jealous. Did you have to work through those emotions and jealousy to get to where you are now? Or did you just, like I said, you just didn't have that gene?
I have never. I guess the best way of putting it is I don't know what jealousy would feel like.
That's what I mean. I think you don't have the gene.
Right.
You know?
When I was 16, there was a girl that I fell in love with,
mm-hmm.
and I knew for sure we were going to get married, and things just didn't go right. And one day when I was at school, this guy comes up and says, Cindy and I are dating now. And I said, oh, okay. Well, she didn't say anything, but okay. And he goes, just thought you should know. I said, okay. You know, and he was looking for, I guess, some kind of reaction. And my thing was, oh, all right. Because I saw it as an addiction. I thought, okay, she's going to date me and she's going to date him. Cool. You know?
Oh, that's so funny. You didn't realize that you were done.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I saw her, she's like going, you know, this just isn't working. And it's like, oh, okay. And to me, that was it. When we were done, we were done.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the thing of, oh man, I've lost my girlfriend. It's like, oh, okay.
I wonder, like, you could feel intense love, right? I'm assuming you're madly
right.
in love with the woman you're with now. You're with her for so many years. You're, you know, she's perfectly suited for you. Would, if she
right.
left you tomorrow, would you feel sadness?
Well, with my current, we actually separated three different times. The second time I found myself going to where she lived and standing on the other side of the street looking through a neighbor's backyard.
Okay. So you don't not
you
have
know.
The gene.
Well, the funny thing was, it wasn't the jealousy. It was, I want to make sure she's okay.
Oh.
I even asked the neighbors, you know, do you hear fighting? Do you hear arguing? I want to make sure she's okay. And so in essence, it wasn't a jealousy thing, because jealousy is nothing more than a fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was a feeling of, you know, I wish that we could be together. But I also knew that if a woman doesn't want to be with me, I'm not going to push the issue. But I found myself the third time that we separated, that the two of us both realize it's like we can't be apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, you hear people that sometimes say, well, I'm just like happy if she's happy. And I don't feel, and I never understood that because I did have jealousy in my life and I understand that. And so like you just are very much not a jealous person. That's why Polly works for you and everything. Let's go into this relationship. Now, was she as open as you when you first met her, or did you get her into this whole lifestyle? Your second wife, the wife you're with now.
Our first date lasted 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex-wife was living with me at the time. And we both, she thought I was weird. And I thought she was the weirdest person I'd ever met. And at the time, I was, the first time she met me, my daughter and her daughter, I guess, had been friends at school, but we never met. And when she came over, my first wife immediately says, if you want to fuck him, I don't care.
Oh.
And my current wife's like going, TMI? I don't even know you guys. And here I am talking about our open relationship and all that, which was a mind blower to her because she grew up pretty much in the country. And this type of lifestyle was something she could never even imagine. And so we were together, I guess, about 2, maybe 3 weeks. And out of the blue, I said, would you ever consider sleeping with other guys and let me watch? And she starts laughing. And I went, what's going on? She goes, well, there's this guy that I've been talking to on the phone. He's a lawyer, and he likes me to talk dirty. And so he calls me. And so she goes, I've been kind of doing a thing with him over the phone. I went, okay, that's kind of cool. And I said, so would you be willing to do it in like real life? And she goes, I don't know. And she goes, you think guys would do that? That's like, yeah. And so that's when Craigslist was huge. And I said, let me set something up. And so me being who I was, and knowing how people were, there was 5 different guys that I went ahead and invited to come over. And I thought, okay, maybe one of them will show up. Well, all 5 of them showed up, and my wife was like going, are you serious? They all want to be with me? It's like, yeah, that's why they're here. And she's like going, I never thought guys did this kind of thing, especially in groups. I said, most guys fantasize about this, you know? I said, not every guy gets to do this. And she's like, okay, I just hope I can please them. And once everything started, she's like going, oh yeah, this is good. I can do this. And that's pretty much all it took. And so about 3 weeks into our relationship, that's what started. And it's been that way ever since.
Do you consider all these times like gangbangs when you label those kinds of experience gangbangs?
We actually called them church because we had them on Sundays.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Pretty consistently. But yes, the majority were gangbangs, yes.
Right. Okay. So you had gangbangs and you had them often. I mean, it sounds like you always had these wives that could take on so many guys at one time.
That was a huge thing.
Yeah, but you scored twice with both girls. I mean, you know, right from the get-go, a lot of guys,
I consider myself extremely fortunate to have found 2 different women that were into it as much as I was.
Yeah, because you were the bull in many relationships too, right? You said, and you've been around. So you've seen all of this from so many different angles.
That is correct, yes.
You know, and what do you see that people do wrong? Because obviously you've done it right. I mean, the first marriage didn't last forever, but you were with her for 28 years. So I don't consider that a failure, you know, when you're with this for the second one for however long. So you know how to keep a relationship going. And, you know, even with all this other stuff going on, other relationships, tons of sex with other people. Let me quick question. Do you sleep with other women now with your wife?
I can, but my wife is very jealous. And because we had a situation where we had some guys come over the house, and I'm bi. And so there was this one guy that I told her, I said, you know, I could definitely hang out with that guy. I definitely felt a connection. And she felt so jealous, but it was because we were dealing with some other stuff, because we're dealing with my ex and all that, to where it was more than she could emotionally handle. A best friend of hers that's no longer around. Yeah, we hooked up and that was a lot of fun. But
and that was a female or a male?
That was a female.
Okay.
Yes.
And was she there watching? Was she together, or would you be with women separately?
Well, we had a guy living with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so her girlfriend actually wanted to be with the guy that was living with us, but he wasn't attracted to her in any way, shape, or form. And so that didn't happen. And it was the four of us on a bed. So we were in the same room.
Right. With your wife there. But she wasn't really into it.
Who?
Your wife.
Oh, she didn't mind.
Oh, she didn't. Okay. I thought you said she's like very jealous.
No, she was jealous of the one guy. And I think it was the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of women would say, you know, I wouldn't mind losing you to another woman, but I couldn't handle losing you to another guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it took me this long. I never even asked you whether you were bi. I mean, when you were starting to talk about the cream pie thing and, like, you know, the gift that was left over and stuff, at that point I was thinking, oh, I got to ask him if he's into guys too, because, you know, I sometimes wonder, and I'm wondering what you think on this since you wrote the cuckold Bible. Do you think most people who are into the cuck thing tend to be bisexual on some level or no?
Well, I think a lot of people, when they get into it, may not know it.
Yeah.
And it's also something that the more people are involved in it, you're around all these guys. A lot of them are well sized. A good number of them are fit, got great physique. And so I think a lot of guys realize as time goes on in a cuckolding type of relationship that there is an attraction. But not really on a romantic level, but more on a sexual level.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what is that term? I forget. I used to think that was bisexual, but it's not. It's more like, you know, heteroflexible. You know, maybe you know.
In a sense, yes.
Right? I don't know. Okay. So now when did you start hooking up with guys? Like, what was that journey like for you?
Actually, that was, I guess it started the same time roundabout that I when I got interested in girls was about the same time I got interested in guys. And so to me, it was a situation where pre-cuckolding per se, it was a way for me to give someone else the control and also to experience it from the other side. Because I always wondered, it's like, what does it feel like to be the girl, the woman, the receiver? And so when a friend of mine, he had a friend of his stay the night, and they had me stay the night, come find out his friend, he was kind of like making suggestions and all that kind of thing to me. And so that night it just kind of happened. And it's like, okay, this is good, you know? And I'd seen a lot of it, having spent a lot of time behind the adult arcade and even going into it, even though I was too young, the guys that ran the place knew that I was that kid that lived in the apartment behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So they never thought much about it. So I'd seen a lot of guys together. And so again, it was, to me, it was just, okay, that's what people do. Cause I never, at that age, I didn't know about gay or bi. It was just, that's what you do.
Right. You saw it. It was in front of you. So it was an option. So that
right.
You saw happening on a regular basis. Cause you lived right there.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was something I saw daily and from morning till night.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming you were open about this with all of your both wives knew this going in, and they were cool with you being with guys.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they never had an issue with it.
Were they into it? Like in that you were like the cuckold, love seeing them with men. Did they enjoy it, seeing you with men? I know that there's a lot of women that dig that.
With my first wife, she most everything we did alone.
Mm-hmm.
And with my current wife, she seen me with guys, and it's only because it's been guys that she's hooked up with.
She passes them along. Who gets them first?
Well, it was funny because one of our main people, we met at a swing club, and mm-hmm. she asked him, says, would you be willing to let Ray go down on you? And he's like going, you know, because in a swingers environment, bisexuality isn't it for guys isn't really accepted.
Yeah.
And so he's like going, well, okay. And because he wanted to please her. And he's like going, okay, this is good. And we've known him for, God, 7-8 years now. And mm-hmm. It's like a three-way situation. And it's awesome because she enjoys being with him. And he enjoys being with her. But we all like the fact that we can all three play together.
Mm-hmm. And that works. Now, have you ever, okay, but let me ask you this. Have you ever had a relationship with a guy since you're poly?
Not with my current. With my ex, there was a guy that I saw on a regular basis. And we had a, how would I put it? It was more than a fuck buddy situation with some actual emotions involved. And it lasted about a year and a half. And he, I've had that entire time thought that his wife was okay with it. Come find out, he was doing everything secretly.
Oh.
And when I found that out, it's like, dude, this is just wrong. You know, you can't be doing that. If we're going to do this, it's got to be honest and open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of ended things.
I've heard with poly people, like sometimes they keep like, oh, you have that primary relationship and then it's set up where the other relationships, you know, are secondary. I mean, can you fall full-fledged in love with somebody else or have you while you've been with your wife? Is that like how poly you are? Because that's where it gets confusing to me. Like, how the fuck does that work?
Yeah, there was one woman that I was dating for, I guess it was about a year and a half. And that was, we had really fallen for each other heavy. But what ended it for us on that is when I went to her, she lived in Texas. We lived in Colorado. And when I went and stayed with her, her kids wanted to spend some time with her. And she's like going, no, Ray's here only so much time. He gets all my time. You can wait. And that this didn't make sense to me. And so even though I'd fallen for her heavily, I actually felt more love for her than I did for my first wife at that time. The way that she was around her kids, it's like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Right. So you never got there. So your wife has always been your primary, but you are able. I mean, that freedom that you craved and that you love is still in place and has been throughout your marriage and has worked for you guys in that you are both able to go and have relationships, do whatever you want with anyone that you want to do at any time.
In a way, yes. And with a couple of people that we both see, we consider them our boyfriends.
Oh, okay. Like you're both sharing them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good that you have the same taste, because I feel like that's sometimes the hard thing to align, that, you know, because I've talked to other poly women and a lot of times what happens with them that I've heard, the trend that I hear is that, you know, it's easier for them to find people and relationships, and their guys are having a harder time finding people outside of that primary relationship, and they feel like they're getting the short end of the stick. They're not as successful, you know, as
right.
The women are. I don't know why.
Well, I guess where it's really different with us and makes it unique and special is that I'm not trying. She's not really going out looking for anyone. I'm not going out looking for anyone. We're looking for people that we can have as lovers and friends, people we can go out to dinner with.
Yeah.
But also spend the night with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not her ideal. I'm 5'9". She likes guys that are like 6'4". I like thin women, whereas my current wife isn't. But we're both the type of people that we look for personality above anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys that we've hooked up with together, they were guys that never imagined that they would have anything to do with another guy. It just, they all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, I felt so comfortable with you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never met anyone like you. And it just seems so natural. And it's like, well, it's the way it should be, you know, because they came into it as, oh, yeah, I'm going to get to be with another guy's wife, not realizing that it would turn into something much more than that. Because with us, it's never just sex, because we want that connection with people.
Yeah.
Now, when we go out just to play, then, of course, it's just play. But if we are at home and we meet someone and we connect with them, it's like we want to get to know these people on more than just a physical level. And that way, that's something that we're able to do together. And there's three main guys that we have this situation where they understand that they are hers and my boyfriend, and they're good with that.
Right. And do you play separately and together, or mostly together?
We don't
together?
Play separately.
You don't play separately at all, right? Mm-hmm. I remember
Never.
You saying that in the beginning. Okay. So it's always like a threesome, or do you do foursomes, fivesomes? I mean.
Well, we went to Vegas, and we went to a place called the Green Door, and they have a certain area just for couples, and we're like going, yeah, that's not our thing. And so we always, the two of us will play together in the open areas, and guys will walk by or just come up and go, hey, can I join you? And it's like, cool. And so that's how, when we go out, especially to places like that, that's what we expect. It's because we're not looking for couples. When we go out, we're looking for guys, you
right.
know, for her.
Mm-hmm.
But if it turns out something where I can be involved, that's even better.
Right. But you also love to watch.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Tell me, like, what kind of guys you're into and what's your hottest cuckolding situations you've been in. Like, give, like, people some good story to end with. And then we're going to do a part two.
Okay. My wife and I were out one night, and we stopped by, like, an adult toy store. And we were picking up lube or something like that. Anyways, I went in. And she stayed out in the car, and we had a Suburban. And I went in, and we had actually left the swing club, and it was a horrible night. Nothing was going on. And so I was telling the counter girl about the night, and this black guy overheard us, and he kind of followed me out. And he goes, so things didn't go well. Huh? And I said, no. And we were really hoping that she could play. And he's going, well, I'd be willing to meet her. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
And so went up to the car, and I introduced him, and he introduced himself. And she's like going, so what's going on? I said, he's willing to play if you are. And she goes, well, we've got a bed in the back. And it's like, okay, cool. And so we ended up going to a nearby park, and it was close to midnight, so it was dark and there was no one around. And he's like going, so what, we're just going to do this in the back of Suburban? And it's like, well, we do have a bed in the back, and it's comfy as any other bed you'll ever be on. And he goes, okay. And so he got inside, and I stood outside, just looked through the window, and I hear, oh my God, that's huge. And come find out, this guy, even soft, was pretty much the biggest that my wife had ever had. And she's like going, I don't know if I can do this. He goes, I think we can make it happen. And she's like going, I can't even get my mouth around it. There's no way this is going to happen. And he's going, yeah, we can do this. And she got really turned on by him. And so when it actually got down to him getting in between her legs, she's like going, oh, yeah, this works. This works. And so he actually was going at him. We actually had a car pull up and ask for directions while this is going on. Luckily, I was outside the vehicle. So I'm giving directions while my wife and this guy are in the back of the Suburban.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God. And Yes. Well, I mean, my wife was not being quiet, so it was obvious. And the woman that was in the car kind of had a grin. So I think she knew what was happening. And when they left, I looked in and my wife's going, you know, if you want to go a second round, I'm good. And he's like going, oh yeah. And so it was amazing because we'd never met this guy. He out of the blue just said, hey, come find out. He's extremely well hung. And everyone got out of the vehicle and my wife's like going, he's running down my leg. and he goes, yeah, I come out, and we're like going, yeah, that's a good thing. And so it was just amazing because this is a guy we didn't know, we had never seen before, and he had to trust us as much as we were trusting him. But it was just sexy as hell that we had gone to a swing club, had nothing happen, but we go to the adult bookstore and come find out there's the guy. So that was probably one of the more fun ones that we had that was outside. And
spontaneous, because it's spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are usually the funnest. And anytime that we go like to the adult theater, I put that right up there with it.
So listen, Raymond, I feel like so many people are going to want to ask you questions about cuckolding, and you are like the cuckold expert. You wrote a book. Talk about your book, and then we're going to do a Q&A for you. I'm going to put a call out to my listeners. Questions that you have for Raymond, who wrote the Cuckold Bible, that's available on Amazon. I'll put a link to that, right? What was the subtitle to it? It's the Cuckold Bible. Give your pitch to all your stuff.
Okay, the Cuckold Bible, How to Improve Your Marriage by Involving Other Men in Your Sex Life.
It's available on Amazon. I'll put links to it. And then we are going to do, if you don't mind, if I'm going to put a call out to all my listeners on YouTube as well, and I'll put it out to my Patreon members, and I'm going to ask people for questions for you. Would you be into coming back on and answering those questions?
I would.
I think that would be fun. You like a Q&A cuckolding.
Like that.
All right, good. We're going to do a Q&A with Raymond. He's going to come back on. In the meantime, if you want to know everything you want to know about cuckolding, he wrote the Cuckold Bible. Put a link on it. It's on Amazon. I think it's a very hot topic. I could tell because of my downloads. I just, whenever I have a cuckold on, I just get so many people listening, and I get emails with questions, and I'm like, I don't know, I can't answer these questions, but you can answer the questions. So I'm gonna have you back on, and you're gonna answer all the questions. We're gonna do a part two. Thanks, Raymond, for calling in and telling your super interesting story, and we're gonna talk again because I'm gonna get you questions. I'll send them to you. All right, thanks, Raymond. Thanks so much.
It's been a blast.
Okay, bye. Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you are on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. I love YouTube as a platform for my show because people comment there, and I try to reply back to every single person who posts a comment. So even if you're not listening on YouTube and you want to talk about the show, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, like, and share my videos. It's Strictly Anonymous Podcast. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous pics of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics, and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests, as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.